The dirt at her feet had a story, the oldest story Cora knew. When Ajari planted there, soon after her long march to the plantation, the plot was a rumble of dirt and scrub behind her cabin, at the end of the line of slave quarters. Beyond that lay fields, and after that, the swamp. Then Randall had a dream one night about a white sea that ranged as far as the eye could see, and switched his crop from dependable indigo to Sea Island cotton. He made new contacts in New Orleans, shook hands with speculators backed by the Bank of England. The money came in as never before. Europe was famished for cotton and needed to be fed, bale by bale. One day the bucks cleared the trees, and at night when they returned from the fields, they got in chopping logs for the new row of cabins. Looking at them now as folks chased in and out, getting ready, it was hard for Cora to imagine a time when the 14 cabins hadn't been there. For all the wear, the complaints from deep in the wood at every step, the cabins had the always quality of the hills to the west, of the creek that bisected the property. The cabins radiated permanence and in turn summoned timeless feelings in those who lived and died in them. Envy and spite. If they'd left more space between the old cabins and the new cabins, it would have spared a lot of grief over the years. White men squabbled before judges over claims to this or that tract, hundreds of miles away, that had been carved up on a map. Slaves fought with equal fervor over their tiny parcels at their feet. The strip between the cabins was a place to tie a goat, build a chicken coop, a spot to grow food to fill your belly on top of the mash doled out by the kitchen every morning, if you got there first. When Randall, and later his sons, got a notion to sell you, the contract wasn't dry before someone had snatched up your plot. Seeing you out there in the evening calm, smiling or humming, might give your neighbor an idea to coerce you from your claim, using methods of intimidation, various provocations. Who would hear your appeal? There were no judges here. But my mother wouldn't let them touch her field, Mabel told her daughter. Field in jest, as Ajari's stake was scarcely 3 yards square. Said she'd dig a hammer in their heads if they so much as looked at it. The image of her grandmother assaulting another slave didn't jibe with Cora's recollections of the woman. But once she started tending to the plot, she understood the truth of the portrait. Ajari kept watch over her garden through prosperity's transformations. The Randalls bought out the Spencer spread to the north once that family decided to try their luck out west. They bought the next plantation south and switched the crop from rice to cotton, adding 2 more cabins to each row. But Ajari's plot remained in the middle of it all, immovable, like a stump that reached down too deep. After Ajari's death, Mabel assumed care of the yams and okra, whatever struck her fancy. The fuss started when Cora took it over.